You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
We read a little bit from Acts chapter 8, but I want to focus on that story of what happens in Samaria and with Philip specifically, and then going to the Ethiopian eunuch as well. We are in a new series focusing on the Holy Spirit, and just as a reminder, every week our resource page on the website at heightschurchmn.org, I put up opportunities for further study, so I've got kind of a walkthrough Bible study for Acts chapter 8 this week. We also have a podcast of every message, and so like Pastor Vicky's message last week and the series we're doing currently on the Holy Spirit, all of our Multiply series, you can link through on the church website, and that'll lead you to those resource pages as well. Pastor Vicky got us started last week, and she mentioned that she did not grow up in the Pentecostal church, and she grew up knowing Jesus, but the power of the Spirit was something that came later as a discovery. Unlike Pastor Vicky, I did grow up in a Pentecostal church. My parents were part of the Pentecostal church before I was born. They thought I spoke in tongues until I was two, and then realized doesn't have that. And then they had to pray for me to speak in tongues. But when we moved to Kansas, the Pentecostal church in town was the Assemblies of God church, and so that's where we went, and that was my experience growing up. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings. And in those days, they had revival meetings, okay? And they complained because they were only a week long. I mean, we go, I have a life, you know. I can't get you guys out for an hour on a weekend, you know. And we'd have like week long, and everybody go, man, they used to be like 6 weeks, you know. And we're so lazy, you know. And you know, but we'd have these revival meetings, and then sometimes, you know, then they trip it back to 3 or 4 days, you know. And we don't have anything close to that length these days, you know, because we have life, more important things to do. But we were always there, revival meetings and prayer meetings, and, you know, I fell asleep on many a good sermon and some bad ones. But I grew up in a day when there was a shift in being what that meant to be Pentecostal. And my parents and the generation ahead of them knew these powerful services. And we had a lot of church services in our day where we would have prayer for healing, and we saw healing. But they would talk about it as not like it had been when they were growing up, or the generation ahead of my parents as well. And we'd talk about being Pentecostal, but when it really came down to it, what did that mean? You know, so by the time I'm growing up, it was about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was about speaking in tongues. And when you spoke in tongues, you got it. You know, and so it was about praying around the altar, and you'd have a sermon on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you have an altar call, and people would gather around you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you get somebody on this side screaming into your ear going, hold on, hold on, you know, and somebody over here going, let go, you know, somebody in front of you going, just say what I say, you know, and all this kinds of stuff, you're just going, this is the most schizophrenic thing I've ever been a part of. What do I do? And what happens after? You know, and so I grew up in the Assemblies of God, but it wasn't until I was 14 or 15 when I did receive the baptism of the Spirit. I'd gone to camps and youth conventions and revivals and all of that, but one Sunday night was just the night where around the altar, people are praying and praying and seeking God and telling me one thing and another. And then tongues flowed. Well, flow is not a really good word, but, you know, stuttered or something. And when that happened, everybody relaxed. And they basically said, praise God, let's go out for pie. Mm-hmm. That was it. Mm-hmm. You know, and no one ever explained what was after that. It was the thing. You go to that, and then, well, good luck. And the baptism in the Spirit at that particular point in time was the end goal. Speaking in tongues was the end goal. And that's what you went for. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the end of the road. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gateway. It's a gateway to another place, a different level. And speaking in tongues or being filled in the Spirit, filled in the Spirit, as Pastor Vicky said last week, is not a one-time event. The work of the Spirit is a saturation process. There are many powerful moments of divine encounters, and there are experiences of being filled. But this walk in the power of the Spirit is an ongoing journey. But the question really is, for what? It's not just about altar services. It's not just about experiences within the context of what can happen in a Sunday service or what can happen in a particular prayer meeting. What it comes down to is what Jesus tells the disciples in Acts 1:8. It is to be empowered to be witnesses. You shall be witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then the remotest parts of the earth. Like Brussels, Belgium, you know, and in Syria and all of these other places, to be an ongoing witness where it stretches out. Now, therein lies the rub. Okay? You shall receive power to be witnesses. Because often what happens is we hear witness and we think do witnessing. If we had, for instance, if we had a six-week class on witnessing and we had 5 weeks where it was just teaching, we'd have, you know, the teaching about evangelism, we'd be learning, we'd be talking, but on the fifth week we announce that on the next week we're going to go out and go witnessing. I guarantee I might as well just have a prayer service for healing right then because everybody will be getting the flu the next week. Because we fear doing witnessing. But that is not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit and you shall go do witnessing. He said you shall be witnesses. And the empowerment is about being. It's not about that you're not a witness if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we have the kingdom in growth, in the opportunity of a continuum, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes us to a whole new level and a whole new dimension in being witnesses that we just would not have recognized before. And with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're more open, hopefully. And the event of speaking in tongues isn't the end goal. It's the gateway to a new openness. Open to the gifts. You're living out something real, and you watch something powerful unfold. And the power of the Spirit is being witness. In being a witness, has a whole new level of speaking into particular situations. There is just something about the activity of the Holy Spirit that helps us and gives. There's an awareness that can be there about what's going on in the Spirit, that the Spirit can begin to show us different things that are going on so that we don't have to get locked into, well, I have to share A, and then I share B, and then I share C, and D is the result. You know, it's this understanding of all of a sudden there's an awareness of what's going on around you, and you can speak into that situation. And it may be just for that moment. John Wimber, who is the founder of the Vineyard Church movement, he got saved. And then when he was being discipled, he was discipled by a group of people. And within that particular church, they didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and things. And he kept reading the Bible, and his main question was, when do we get to do the good stuff? You know, they're laying hands on people, they're being healed, and they have words, and they know what to say to people. And when do we get to that? You know, and finally he realized God had something more. And he would talk about how the Lord would use him in different ways. He had one where he had a book where he talked about these encounters where the Spirit would just give him the things to say. He was on a plane one time doing a coast-to-coast flight, speaking at another conference, And when he got on the plane, he noticed a couple across the aisle. And when he looked across the aisle and he saw the man, the Spirit spoke a word to him about that particular man. And he realized, oh, whoa, you know, and he's like, but before he realized he was still looking at the guy, and the guy looks over at him and notices John Wimber staring at him like, you got a problem? You know, and so John Wimber leans out into the aisle, and the other guy leans out into the aisle. And John Wimber just opened his mouth and started talking. And he said, does the name so-and-so, and he spoke a woman's name, he said, does this name mean anything to you? And the guy drained of color. And he goes, we got to talk. He scoots over to John Wimber's side of the aisle. And what the Spirit had shown John Wimber was this guy was in an affair, and that was his wife over across the aisle. And she didn't know what he was in the middle of. And so on that flight across the country, John Wimber unfolded the power of the gospel into this man's life and led him to the Lord and her to the Lord by the time the flight was over. You know, it's just that unfolding that can happen if we are open to what the Spirit wants to do. That you realize that sometimes you're in a situation and you realize the Lord didn't put you there because, you know, the Lord's doing something for you. The Lord's going to do something through you. You realize that you're called to do into a particular place because there's something the Lord wants to speak through you to touch someone else. That's the power of being a witness. So, you know, in Acts 8, we have these actions that are going on within the church. We have the actions of Philip to look at when it comes to witnessing. The church has come to this place in Samaria because of persecution. In Acts chapter 7, we have the story of Stephen that's been hauled before the Sanhedrin, and then he preaches, they get offended, they end up killing him, and we get introduced to Saul, who become Paul. And as a result of that, they've come into Samaria because of persecution. The promise of the Lord was that the Spirit would make them witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the remotest parts of the earth. He just didn't say how that was going to work. And here's a church that was mainly, up until Acts chapter 8, staying in Jerusalem, and it's persecution that got them going. And here's a key thought I want us to keep in mind. What increases the witness of the church in Acts is adversity. What increases the witness of the church in Acts is adversity. Tough times increase witness. Tough times increased witness. Philip is the one who goes into Samaria, and this massive revival breaks out. And part of that is that he's praying over people and they're being healed, and he's praying over people and demons are being cast out. Part of proclamation, and again, this is the power of being filled with the Spirit, because part of proclamation is demonstration. That you realize you can pray for people and something could happen in their life in that moment. Where there's an addiction that gets broken, or there's something that's holding on to their body and they get healed, and something miraculous can happen. That's part of being a witness. That's a whole new gateway into something in the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to realize. People are healed, demons are cast out, that gets attention. But then here's the other activity of the Holy Spirit. In the middle of all of that going on, and that's where we read this morning, great joy comes to that city. In the middle of all of that, I mean, Philip has got, you know, the Colosseum booked. He's got Target Center booked. He's got all of this stuff, you know, healing crusades, all of this. The Holy Spirit says, now, leave here. And Philip goes, and where Philip goes is to stand on a road waiting for one guy. One guy. That is the power of the Spirit as well. The Spirit yanks Philip out of that great revival, you know, and puts them on a road waiting for one guy. The Spirit will take us places that are needed, even if they're out of the way, because we are to be witnesses. And that means we listen to the Holy Spirit and then we obey. And the empowerment of the Spirit is a major component to powerful witness. And we can see that in the church in the past century. The church around the world has advanced in huge ways because of the power of the Spirit that was poured out on Azusa Street in the Azusa Street Revival in 1906. It's estimated that about half the population of the church around the world is Spirit-filled in some dimension. It doesn't matter what denomination label you put on it. They believe in the power of the Spirit. They pray for people to be healed. They pray for visions. They pray for demons to be cast out. They operate in the power of the Spirit. We are empowered for witness. There is a gateway into another dimension where we can see power encounters and a boldness in our lives. And so many ways the Spirit can enable us to live as witnesses. Jesus is about seeking and saving the lost, and He gives us every tool possible to do just that. So we need the availability to be used to be witnesses. So let me leave you with three quick thoughts here. The first is this. Baptism in the Spirit isn't about weird experiences. Okay? Baptism in the Spirit. That's good. That's all right. Let me say that again. Baptism in the Spirit isn't about weird experiences. But it is powerful. Pastor Vicki shared last week how the Lord was so gracious to her that when she experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it happened individually. You know? Where the Spirit will work with us. You know, there was a friend when I began ministry in Kansas, but we went back to our home church, and there was a friend that was in the church, and he was praying constantly. And he prayed just like, you know, we did. You know, hold on, let go, say this, you know, and all this stuff. He, you know, hadn't experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, hadn't experienced the speaking in tongues. One day, and he wanted to. You didn't drag this guy to the altar, you know. He wanted to. And one day, there's a group of us, we're praying for people for healing at the altar, and we're praying, and all of a sudden I hear a voice I'm not familiar, and it's praying in tongues. And I turn around, and it's that guy! While he's praying for someone else, the Spirit gives him the gift of tongues. You know, and it's just, it doesn't have to be this weird thing. But it is powerful. It is this sense of God just favoring us and just doing something special in our lives. It is powerful. The second thought is this. Empowerment is for new life to flow through you, and you are ready for the Spirit for Spirit encounters and everyday opportunities. Everyday opportunities. When we lived in Colorado, I worked in the flooring industry for a couple of years. And in both of those jobs, I worked around very destructive people. They just had self-destructive lifestyles. And it was like everybody in the company. It was just like, you dudes are messed up. I was just, so my prayer was, Lord, I just want to live in a way that when one of these guys' lives fall apart, and it will, that I'm the guy that's living something so powerful, they come and get me. And time after time, I was able, it'd be after maybe a morning meeting, or we were getting done with work for the day, but invariably over the course of 2 years, I would just have guys that would come to me and say, can we go for coffee? Can I talk to you? And they would open up their lives because something had fallen apart. And it's being witness, empowerment. The thing about the power of the Holy Spirit is empowerment to live a life pleasing to the Lord, where deep will call to deep. And that living water that is bubbling up in you will reach those who are thirsty. And they will see it. And they'll come. And they'll ask. And they'll talk. And all of a sudden, there are these things that are opened up. Philip's by that road, and you know, an Ethiopian comes by, and he just happens to be reading out of a scroll of Isaiah. And he just happens to need someone to explain it to him. Everything is wide open. You know, Philip, at that point, doesn't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I got to back up here and I got to go through this introductory part over here and I got to go through this part over here and then I can go to this and then we'll talk about your passage in Isaiah. Philip immediately knows, well, here's a gimme, you know, and off he goes. We live in those times. Empowerment is for new life to flow through you, and you are ready for spirit encounters and everyday opportunities. The third thought is this. The baptism of the Spirit makes us aware of the gifts that are available. The gifts of the Spirit is a topic we'll get into a little bit later on in this series, but we need to realize a couple of things. One is, when it comes to the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, for instance, we are not talking about a comprehensive list. These are not all the gifts that are possible in the Holy Spirit. Paul is talking to a specific group about a specific thing for a specific reason, and he's listing some examples here. Okay, so it's not a comprehensive list. But the other thing about that particular thing is that Paul is not talking about having one or two gifts that are resident in your life, and these are the gifts. Well, I have the gift of healing, and I have the gift of discernment, and I have the gift of acting weird, you know, and all these other gifts, you know, and I, you know, it's not residential gifts. Think of them as tools in the toolbox. That there are times where the Lord has you in a situation, and like John Wimber, you look across and you realize there is something in that guy's life, and I am supposed to speak into that, and here comes a word of discernment. Okay. There are other times where he's looking into somebody's life. We can look into somebody's life and the Lord will say, that person needs healing and I want you to pray for healing in their life. Tools in the toolbox, and the baptism of the Spirit keeps us aware of those gifts. And we need to be familiar with those tools and be ready to use them. We may pray for healing. We may have a word of knowledge. And it may happen where you are, on the bus, working in your office, in the classroom. It may happen in your neighborhood, talking across the back fence to your neighbor. You know, and we need to realize the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to make us aware of those gifts that are available. And just because we pray for healing and someone gets healed doesn't mean we go book Target Center and have a healing crusade. It just means thank God for that moment. And Lord, do something in that person's life and then move on and see what the next thing is. You know, that's the power of the Spirit. When we are active in witness and full of the Spirit, we will, as Luke gives us in Acts chapter 8, we will help bring great joy to the city. The baptism of the Spirit brings us an awareness of transformed lives. We will live out transformation, and we realize that we can live like Jesus more and more. People will see the difference in us. Questions can arise. The Spirit will then enable us to give grace-filled answers to those that are seeking. We need in our lives to walk in a constant awareness of the power of the Spirit. And, you know, we are, as we said last week, we are leaking vessels, and that's a good thing. Because living life uses up grace and the power of the Spirit day after day, and we need to fill up. We need a constant awareness of the Holy Spirit, and we need a constant awareness that, Lord, this week I need a new touch. I need more oil. I need more of what who you are flowing through me. We leak, and that's a good thing, you know. We don't want to hold it in so, you know, somebody has to, like, you know, break us to get to the power of the Spirit, but that the glory of God moves through us. Life uses us up in a good way, and we begin to see things happen. But the baptism of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit is we are empowered to be witnesses. That this week, there is some opportunity that the Spirit will have for you. It can be an action that you'll take. It can be a word that you might say. It might be the Lord speaking to you about praying for healing for someone or speaking a word into their life. We don't know, but here's the thing. The Spirit does know. And if we're just obedient to that, we can watch things happen. We may not always know it in that moment, but our obedience to the Spirit has an effect, a cumulative effect on the lives of people, that if we will all just be about that activity of the Spirit, some of these amazing things can happen. So let's live life that uses up grace and power of the Spirit every week. Let's leak. And then every week, come to this place where we know we need to be filled up. We come to prayer. We come to a place of the communion table. We come to these times where we know we just need the power of the Spirit to fill us up.